Good evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to Infield Chatter, the AC Snakebit podcast. Same three people as before. We're recording Friday night because we felt like it, and this is coming out Sunday, so whatever happens in three games against the Giants will not be relevant. So if somehow AJ Pollock was attacked by badgers in center field on Saturday, you're going to have to wait for next week's episode. I don't know what to tell you.
Valar Morghulis.
Let's start off just with the general, just look back in the last, from Thursday to Monday, basically, so four games, Diamondbacks baseball, things you notice. What are some things that stood out to you, good or bad? Throw this out to the group.
Wait, why are we looking Thursday to Monday? Shouldn't we be looking, like, Sunday to yesterday?
Wait a second, why are we only looking at this year? Can we choose, like, a time period of, like, 1995 to next year?
Wait a minute. Why are we only talking about baseball? I really have some thoughts about, like, the 1988 Quidditch World Cup I'd like to get out there.
Well, the platform is all yours.
Okay. All right. Now, a lot of you know the 1988 Quidditch World Cup. Actually, I don't know if they even had one. I may have made that up entirely.
Turn it off.
Look what yeah, started, no. The Diamondbacks. Baseball. That's a thing.
I'm definitely not frantically looking at their schedule to remember what happened last week.
I can tell you by heart. They won 1-3 from the Padres, and then last night was that crazy chicken figure game against the Giants.
It's kind of a weird place because we still have tonight's game, which hasn't happened yet. Tomorrow's game, which obviously hasn't happened yet. So Friday, Saturday. So just looking at it from this perspective, this week sucked.
We went 500, 2-2.
No, we lost three times this week.
No.
I'm not counting Sunday? I'm not counting Sunday because we talked about Sunday last Sunday.
Yeah. Did we talk about Sunday last Sunday?
A little bit.
We talked about Sunday last Sunday.
I don't really remember.
Remember we were at that Sunday place?
I remember anime. That's what I remember. So, I remember thinking about Ranma 1/2 and then getting kind of confused but also excited. So far through the week, it looks like a really bad week, but it could turn, or at least a shruggable week. But it could be a really good week if we win tonight and tomorrow as well.
I'm just happy the Diamondbacks don't have a losing record right now, so that's always a bonus to me.
That's a bonus. Correct me if I'm wrong. They were never.
You're wrong.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they were never, other than being 0-0, they were never like at or above 500 at all last year, if I remember correctly.
I think you are correct because
because we started off so abysmally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I was getting hammered in Australia and then losing those games.
And you think getting hammered in Australia would be fun, but
not always.
Yeah. I think they lost some games of Knifey Spoonie too.
Also a possibility.
Hooray, 500 record. We were over 500 at one point.
Blew too close to the sun, though.
Yeah, like a candle in the wind.
Maybe the Cubs have broken this, but they were on a streak where they hadn't been two games over 500 since 2010, I think.
Wow, seriously?
Yeah, so at least we're not that.
That is true.
Ray for lowered expectations?
Yeah, and maybe people can't get warm hamburgers at Chase Field or churro dogs, but I'm sure there are more than enough bathrooms that work.
Mm-hmm.
I found the article about that, and they're like, last time the Cubs were two games over 500, Jay Cutler had made four starts for the Bears, and the Blackhawks were seeking their first Stanley Cup since 1960-61 season. That's quite a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's certainly a shocking number to hear, but it's not, still not as bad as, say, the recent Royals run until last year, just for the overall.
Or the Pirates.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I think the Cubs
more like
problem.
Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it's like if you look at the Pirates in a vacuum, it's like, oh, that's that. But you look at the whole Pittsburgh sports, and you're like, I don't really feel. I don't really feel.
Yeah, if they have continued success, maybe the Pirates will get lumped in with the rest of the Pittsburgh sports.
Yeah,
for me, but that is one team there that I can at least be like, yeah, they're kind of cool. Yeah. Got cool uniforms, they got cool history. Robert Clemente used to play there. You know, you kind of feel bad for them, even though they're also Steelers fans, so I definitely shouldn't feel bad for them, but I do.
Oh, God, no.
So, yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Jolly Roger and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Their radio team is not very good, though. It's not the worst I've heard. It's just not very good.
Yeah, like, Soko and I both have a Game Day Audio subscription, so we rant. You more than me, because your work is more conducive to this, have randomly just been listening to other people's radio teams.
Right.
Yeah. So, you might get some content, hashtag, in the future about that. But yeah, the things I remember is that I was listening to the Tigers radio team, like, once, and they just kept complaining about the strike zone the whole time. And then I switched over to the Twins, and they were just sort of had this, like, joyful nihilism about everything. That seemed like a contradiction, but
yeah,
just like, yeah, the team's not very good, but let's see what's, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a good coping mechanism if you are a if you have to watch any Minnesota sports team for a long period of time.
Yeah,
I figure it's probably an extension of dealing with Minnesota winters too.
As a public radio host from Minnesota, I heard once put it, winter in Minnesota is when God tries to ice murder you. That seems about right. And then, of course, when you get to the summer, it's, you know, humid as all hell, so.
Right. You really can't win.
No.
I do want to. I would like to go there sometime, but it would definitely be a short window, like August, and that's it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've been to Minneapolis / St. Paul, like, a long time ago. It's a fun city. Cities, I guess.
Cities.
Yeah. Because.
Minnesotan would angrily correct you?
Well, not angrily. They would just more passive-aggressively correct you.
Oh, I guess. I don't know.
If we're hearing your stereotypes.
I guess. I don't really know many Minnesotans.
So how did we get here? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the last week of Diamondbacks. You mentioned the Pirates, and that's one of the teams that the Diamondbacks play next week, as well as the Texas Rangers.
That is an A-plus segue.
Yes. Smooth. The Rangers are an interesting team in that they were basically like the AL version of the Diamondbacks last year, in the sense like they were kind of an infinitely constructed team that got bit in the ass by injuries. And they still are this year, kind of, because Yu Darvish is getting Tommy John surgery, and they have a bunch of bad contracts. And so, you know, it's kind of like looking in a mirror, like a dark Carnival of the Soul funhouse mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rangers had their time in the sun, and now they're kind of falling back to earth.
And like, it sort of makes, like, their two World Series appearances, like, seem that much more painful. Maybe not so much 2010, because that wasn't really a competitive series, but, you know, 2011, Game 6, basically coming down to, why the hell can't Nelson Cruz field a damn fly ball?
Yeah.
That was basically the thing. It's just like, ooh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty sad, especially when you consider that Dallas as a sports town really has never seen a championship for anything.
Oh, no, not once.
So.
Not in the last 20 years. Not within, like, the last 5 years for an indoor sport, even, you know.
No. And they definitely, you know, the late 90s, their ice hockey team definitely did not break a rule and cheat their way into a championship. That definitely didn't happen.
No, not once.
Sports references. I know what you're talking about. Don't test me on that. Just accept that I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another vacuum. Looking at something in a vacuum, looking at a whole fandom kind of thing. Like, regional, city-wise. But, yeah. But yeah, the Rangers is a two-game series. Yeah, there's two off days next week. Oh, they're Monday and Thursday. Ha, huh, guess who doesn't have the right recaps next week? High five.
Woohoo, high five.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, beyond the occasional 7 o'clock game, Thursday is the day to recap.
As somebody who spent two and a half seasons on Wednesday, I agree. Thursday is the day to recap.
You know, that actually just made me think of something when we were just talking about not only Dallas, but Pittsburgh. But what are some sports towns where you normally hate their teams, but for whatever reason you like their baseball team? Or vice versa. Normally you like their teams. You know, like normally you might be a Broncos fan, but you just can't stand the Rockies or whatever.
That fits two of us to a T.
Yeah, but the town that actually comes to mind for me, D at least, is Detroit. Because, I don't know, I just hate the Red Wings. And the Lions have annoyed me because I always feel like they wasted Barry Sanders. But I have a strange affection for the Tigers. I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel you on the Tigers.
Yeah, they've always been one of my American League teams. And
I have no strong feelings about really any of the other teams beside the Red Wings.
Yeah, the Red Wings are, you know, they fit into that sphere of, like, the Yankees or the Cowboys or whatever. Like the hockey version of that.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the worst? This is kind of a segue. The hockey playoffs are on right now, so it kind of works. What was the worst was around, like, from, like, 2008 to 2011. I was friends with and worked with a lot of people who were fans of the Red Wings and the Penguins, and they played in two consecutive Stanley Cup finals, and that was like,
I guess I will continue on what I had already said previously. Normally, I dislike Pittsburgh sports across the board. Mm-hmm. Dislike the Steelers. I dislike their fans. I dislike the Penguins. I generally dislike their fans. I don't like any of it. And yeah, a large part of it is because they've been very successful and their fans get to celebrate and my teams generally are not successful. But I'm down with the Pirates, generally speaking. They got, again, like I said, they got that history. They got cool uniforms. They got some exciting players. Looks like a really cool ballpark that I'd like to go to someday. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in Pittsburgh I'm interested in seeing besides going to their ballpark. It'd have to be like, oh, I'm driving through for some inexplicable reason, mm-hmm. going through Western Pennsylvania. Oh, I guess I'll go to a game. Or if I was trying to fill out a bucket list. But other than that, I cannot think of a single thing in Pittsburgh I really care about seeing.
Especially the Andy Warhol Museum?
I was about to bring that up. Don't care. Sorry. I'm not a big visual art guy to begin with, and especially contemporary stuff, so.
Oh, I was going to ask if you'd want to go see the Mattress Factory, but apparently it's an art museum and not actually a place where they make mattresses. So screw you, Pittsburgh.
That is legitimately disappointing.
Mine, I think, this is kind of like the team where I hate is not a baseball team, but it has three teams, so it works. Oakland. I generally like the A's. Like, I wouldn't say they're like my AL team because I don't believe in that.
That sounds like a topic.
Yeah, but maybe we'll segue to that. But I generally like the A's. They're cool. They're fine. I was in the Bay Area about this time last year, and I missed the chance to go to a A's game. I would have liked to. I also missed the chance when I was really drunk in San Francisco to pee on AT&T Park, which I said I would out loud a few times, but. Yeah, I like the A's. Like, the Warriors, I'm actually kind of okay with, even though I'm a Suns fan. Division rival stuff, but I don't, like, hate them as much as I hate, say, like, the Lakers or the Spurs, which I think those are, like, the top two in most Suns fans. So. Yeah.
And that's ultimately the problem for me. Because I was trying to think, okay, what are teams? I hate all those teams, but they would have a baseball team, and it. A lot of times it really is across the board. Like, I hate the Lakers, mm-hmm. but I also hate the Kings.
And the Dodgers. Yeah.
So, and UCLA, and USC, yeah. And I guess, the LA Galaxy.
I was going to say, I guess really the only possible bright side is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California of the Milky Way.
Yeah, but their whole recent debacle with Josh Hamilton is just kind of disgusting.
Yeah, that does not make me feel good about things.
It really does not.
And Art Moreno made his money selling billboards in Tucson, so sorry about that.
Yeah, he went to U of A.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes bad apples go to the same place that you went, and that doesn't necessarily reflect on you.
No, yeah, it happens. I'm sure Harvard isn't sending out brochures with, like, hey, Ted Kaczynski, wait here.
They might. I don't know.
I was going to say, well, Harvard? Well,
you never know.
Yeah, they're weird.
So, Charlie, you had said you don't believe in having an AL team. And I'm going to assume you mean because you already have a primary team, you don't believe in having a secondary team in the AL, or is it because you just simply don't believe in the AL?
The first one.
Okay.
I believe in the AL as a construct that exists.
Good, because I have some bad news for you otherwise.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I actually might side with not believing them as a construct. I mean, not believing in them as a baseball league, because they do have the designated hitter.
Which, actually, I'm okay with, because...
You know what? I don't think this is the time to bring that topic up, Charlie, okay? Because
we
usually only have an
fight,
hour.
Fight.
The only reason I believe in the DH selectively now is because the Diamondbacks have a team that would benefit from having the DH.
So basically, once Mark Trumbo leaves, you might not believe in it anymore.
Correct.
I am a full-on DH believer, so I guess I should let myself out.
You also think you can make cake in a microwave.
God, this shit again.
Okay, Charlie, you don't believe in the idea that you are a Diamondbacks fan, so you can have, or you're allowed to have, an AL team. So I would be curious to hear your thoughts about that, because I assume it has nothing to do with the DH. But maybe it does.
It's just, rooting for one team is hard enough, you know? Why subject yourself to another? During the playoffs or something, I'll bandwagon a team or have a list, like, I would prefer this team, but it's over this team.
Following one baseball team is already kind of a full-time job.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
See, I mean, I have my AL teams. I obviously don't follow them with the same fervor that I do the Diamondbacks because
Name
I'm not...
Name them so we can shame you.
The Seattle Mariners.
Oof.
Shame.
Excuse me, I think being a Mariners... You don't need to shame a Mariners fan. That's bad enough. Just being one. And to a lesser degree, the Tigers, like I said. But yeah, like, I don't follow them as actively. They're kind of, I mean, the Mariners I pay attention to, I follow how they're going, but the Tigers are more, like, they're like a third tier. It's less that I'm a fan, it's more of a, hey, there's a game on, I kind of pay attention to this team, it's somebody who I'll cheer for, so I've got a little bit more investment. Game, but I can just drop it when I walk away.
Yeah, I just wouldn't say, oh, the blank are my AL team, but I would definitely say if you wanted to have, like, a hierarchy of likability in my mind of AL teams, I'd probably do that. It's a commitment issue. It's not you, it's me.
I will agree that it's difficult to be a full-time, full-on fan of multiple teams in baseball. It's difficult because you already have to watch almost every single day. They might be on at about the same time. Mm-hmm. You may have to pony up for some sort of subscription. Mm-hmm. So the audio package is fairly reasonable, but after that it becomes a lot more difficult. Like, I would consider my AL team to be the White Sox.
Shame.
But, I know. But it's not like I follow them so heavily that I could probably even name the entirety of the roster. I know most of the roster. I generally know how they're doing. I tune in when I can, but if there's a Diamondbacks game, I'm probably going to tune in the Diamondbacks game first.
Mm-hmm.
So they certainly are subordinate to my primary interest. Mm-hmm. But I also agree, generally speaking, I am probably DTF for just about every AL team. With the exception of probably only a few. But even then, like, if it came down to the Dodgers playing the Twins in the World Series, I'm probably pulling for the Twins.
Oh, that's... I think that's a given.
It's a given. But it's just... because we see the NL team so often that it's a lot harder for me to have any sort of league pride that sometimes people try and throw around. Whereas I could watch just about any AL team, and as long as they have some history and cool uniforms, then I'm probably going to be okay with it, even if they're a bad team.
Oh, and if you didn't follow up the three lines of logic, even though I did say it out loud, the Raiders are the Oakland team I don't like, but the other two I'm okay with. Even though the Warriors aren't going to be in Oakland in a few years because Cushy Stadium deals, so and the A's might not be either. So
I will admit,
and the Raiders, so. Sorry, Oakland.
Life sucks for Oakland. I will admit that I forgot the Raiders existed for a minute because they have fallen kind of off my radar as football. Because like back in the 80s and the 90s, the Raiders and the Broncos were really huge rivals.
Yeah,
but the Raiders have sucked so much that like
going on 12 years now.
Yeah, like when you were talking earlier about, this may have been before we actually started recording, about like disinterested radio teams. I listened to the Raiders broadcast of a game for like 5 minutes, and the guy was so sarcastic. Like he was talking about how the Raiders were playing so badly, and he's like, "Raiders football. Catch the excitement." And I may have been emoting there more there than he was.
You know who is super excited about the Oakland Raiders, though?
Ooh. Who?
Ron Wolfley!
Oh, my gosh. No, but anyway, I thought your silently hated team was going to be like the San Jose Sharks.
If we're going to get, you know, pedantic about geography, San Jose and Oakland aren't really, you know.
They're not in the same county.
No.
Oakland is in Alameda,
yes.
And San Jose is in Santa Clara.
Oh, Alameda, where the nuclear vessels are.
Yeah. So we're talking
East Bay. The other one is in South Bay.
So really the Sharks are closer to the 49ers now than anything.
They are, because Santa Clara... Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Santa Clara is in Santa Clara County. Duh.
That was a cavalcade of good ideas.
Can I bring up a Diamondbacks-related topic?
Go.
Yes.
How dare you?
I mean, I don't know if I would be breaking the guidelines of this podcast. Mm-hmm. I know that we once again had a flare-up of the Diamondbacks don't let fans sitting behind home plate not wear opposing teams' colors again.
We kind of talked about that last week. But
yeah, so did you see the follow-up that the Diamondbacks mm-hmm. don't have that policy, and it was a fan who gave their friend a jersey?
Yeah.
Why did this not? Why did we get the slew of attacks on the Diamondbacks again? And everybody's like, "Eh, whatever. We're not going to bother to correct it."
I did see a few national writers, like I think Rob Nair, Rob, whatever, however you pronounce his last name.
We're close. We'll just call him Rob.
Robbie,
the Robster. Abba Lama Ding Dong.
I thought I saw something by him on. There were a few like baseball personalities on Twitter that were basically like, oh, well, I guess this is the real story.
Yeah, I think I saw Ken Rosenthal wrote about it too, but I mean, it wasn't corrected with the same overwhelming voice and vehemence.
Yes, it didn't.
There were a few people who were like, well, who gives a shit?
Yeah, then there was that sort of, once it became clear what had actually happened, I did see some national voices kind of being like, well, why was it ever a big deal? Like,
because
you weren't really saying anything before that point. Thanks.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess that part of it does feel like sometimes the Diamondbacks, occasionally it seems like a bias against the Diamondbacks where people will blow things out of proportion for the team because I don't know if it's because we don't have that much of a history or if we don't have that many interesting things about us, but
I think it's one part we brought it upon ourselves with some stupid things the
front office has
done.
Yeah,
but I think it's one part them's the breaks because it doesn't feel like even the Rays get nearly as much shit as we do, with the exception of that they can never fill their stadium. But then any time that gets brought up, it's almost immediately countered with or given the sort of parenthetical of, well, if they ever move to Tampa out of St. Pete, then they would do really well. So even then they're given an out that we seemingly never are given.
Yeah. St. Pete is just like, they're the crazy person that Tampa has locked in the attic, so.
St. Pete is like the St. Paul to Tampa's Minneapolis.
Ooh.
It's there, but people are like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Well, I think the bigger issue isn't some, like, part of it, I think, is, from my understanding, is that people in Tampa don't necessarily want to go to St. Pete, but they're okay with the idea. It's just where it's located, it's very difficult to get to that location.
Yeah, that stadium is apparently very, very hard to get to.
Yeah, it's like just a giant bottleneck, because if you're coming from Tampa, you have to go over a bridge.
Yeah, there's one bridge, and it's, like, right on the other side of it. Yeah, we went there.
And it's guarded by a troll. He's going to ask you all kinds of questions and trivia.
Like, it's not that hard. I mean, a good DM will make you answer the trivia, but, I mean, he'll let you – it's not just answer the riddles. It's, like, you can play a game back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly the DM is a dick who thinks he's still playing by, like, first-generation rules.
Oh,
where it's more adversarial.
Yeah.
Instead of transactional.
Yeah, it's he wants to win Dungeons and Dragons. Right. I mean, Major League Baseball.
It does feel like we don't necessarily get the pass that other teams get on a variety.
It's not like you said, like, the sort of justifiably stupid things have sort of like have allowed people in their minds to have carte blanche as to just pile on. And
part of it could be that we're, to a certain extent, plugged into the internet baseball-osphere. Because, you know, traditional media, I think, just generally tries to ignore the Diamondbacks because there's not a whole lot of things going interesting with them.
Which,
you know, every once in a while I'll be like, oh, why did they trade Upton? That was stupid.
At least now we are occasionally getting the, oh, hey, that Paul Goldschmidt guy's pretty good.
Right. And that's generally the extent, or every once in a while a retrospective of, oh, hey, remember that time they won the World Series inexplicably?
Narrative about the Yankees.
Right. But when it's on the internet and when you're talking about a community, sometimes that can be a really good thing, or lots of times it can be a good thing. It allows people to interact with people with similar interests and viewpoints. And backgrounds, or even different backgrounds. But it can also be a problem when it becomes essentially an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what happens here, is the internet baseball sphere knows that that is the narrative, and that's what they're going to go with, and that's what people want to read. You know, if they write about how the Diamondbacks front office are a bunch of idiots, people are going to share it and comment on it and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's rigged.
Damn it. I'm gonna slap my fist on my fist over that. Let's seg into some reader questions. Well, reader, listener, whatever. People who follow me on Twitter questions. Mm-hmm. I got two. We can answer both of them. This is from Snake Pit writer Stephen Burt. What's the best chicken finger place? And why he asked that is because in the last inning of last night's Thursday's game, some jokester or Siegel or something dropped a chicken finger, like, by the mound, and it's taken everything by storm.
I think that was a nice move by the Siegel, because I know that the Seagulls do like to gather around AT&T Park to prepare to scavenge. I think, does AT&T not actually have to send people out to clean? They just let the Seagulls sweep through and pick everything up?
I think they let the Seagulls do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was a nice gesture from the Seagull to be like, wow, this game's going on for a long time. These players could probably use a little extra protein to help them get through the late innings.
Yep. Randall Delgado might be hungry. Here you go.
Yeah.
Didn't bring the dipping sauce, though, so that's poor form.
Lame.
Yeah, a little rude.
I don't quite know how to answer that question just simply because I don't know what Scopey means, so I'm going to pick my favorite chicken finger is at Zips, which is a local Phoenix chain. It's pretty good. It's tasty. It's got more of like a beer battering sort of crustiness to it instead of the normal breading. So I'd say that one's my favorite.
I'm kind of a fan of the, and I don't know if they still have them, the chicken crispers at Chili's.
At Chili's?
Yeah, at Chili's.
They do. They do. I just had it last weekend.
Ooh. Yes.
Zips are similar to the Chili's ones, but I think at this I don't know if they changed it slightly, but it feels like Chili's aren't quite as good as they used to be, but for a national chain, definitely.
Yeah.
I go Chili's, the only thing I'm getting is chicken crispers. But goddamn, also, they are good.
Also, they've got fantastic honey mustard. I really like that.
I'm more of a ranch guy.
Well, you know, everybody's got their tastes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
I do also like, and they seem like they've been popping up a lot lately, is Raising Cane's. They're pretty good. Not as good. Like, they're like fast food chicken fingers, and that's that's the only thing they sell. You can get chicken fingers, or you can get a sandwich that chicken fingers on a bun, along with, like, sides and stuff. But they've got I like their sauce with that, so.
Yeah, I guess my pick, I'll go with a Tucson, I say chain, there's like two of them. Lucky Wishbone, I'm going to check that. There's two in Tucson, there's one on the east side, and there's one kind of centralish on Campbell. Oh, there's three, wow. Moving up a little more.
50% more than you thought.
East side, central, and south side, so there you go. Yeah, it's a sort of just, it specializes in sort of like chicken fingers and stuff, and they have a pretty good chicken finger. There was one like by I used to have to take the city bus to go home from high school because I stayed after to do stuff, and so there was one by a transfer spot where I had to go, so I ate there a lot in high school and pretty good. So who knows if there'll be any chicken finger shenanigans in the game tonight? We're one out into it, so who knows? So the second question I have is not a serious question, but
it's not of the same intensity as the chicken fingers question.
Oh,
we
no.
can keep going about chicken fingers because I love me some chicken fingers.
They are pretty great.
Yeah. Oh my god, they are so good.
I know, right? I just got a question from a Nicholas Stellini, who is a writer for Beyond the Box Score, which is a sort of sabermetrics blog at SB Nation. They just post interesting stuff sometimes, so we should.
I got that. A question for him, but he can go first.
Is A-Rod an elite QB? Which I say, if Joe Flacco is, yes. But that actually sort of that does take into one of my sort of favorite Schadenfreude-istic, that's a word, things about this year, is that A-Rod is like mashing dingers, and the people who care way too much about the PED stuff are grasping at their pearls, and it's like, this is hilarious to me.
It is. I have zero problems with A-Rod as a person, as a baseball player. Now, he might not be the nicest person. I don't know. I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
And you hear the stories, and they don't sound that great, but I don't have really any problems with him. It's not like he was abusing children or punching his girlfriend or murdering someone and shooting them six times and then claiming all of his friends were on PCP or anything like that. He used some performance enhancing and drugs. I don't blame him one second. But he's definitely not an elite QB anymore. I think his skill set has declined.
Yeah, so. I don't think he's got the mobility in the pocket.
No, that's I think, you know, it was part of his game, and that has now been killed. So he's kind of having to rely more on staying in the pocket and trying to do more of these kind of short passes. But I said the same thing about Tom Brady, not the running part. What do I know?
I will say this. I can almost guarantee you that A-Rod will not win a Super Bowl ring this year.
Ooh, hot take.
I'm almost certain on that.
I am willing. I'm not willing to take that bet.
I think he won't win the Super Bowl, but he might win the Conn Smythe Trophy.
That would be great though if A-Rod continued to mash at this pace and won like the MVP or something like that.
Yeah, like
no, he wouldn't win the MVP though because that's voted on by the writers. If his numbers were good enough to win the MVP, and then they threw a hissy fit and were like, "No, we can't do this."
I'm a baseball writer. I don't know. I'm very tired. I got like 2 hours of sleep last night.
Those jerks who write about baseball, and unlike us, get paid for it.
Yeah.
I got movie tickets once.
I got a gift card to Amazon, and then I fled the state.
I got ice cream. So what are we talking about? So let's wrap up on a feature we debuted, I don't know which episode, where we play a weird improv game where we draw a player from a random set of baseball cards from the 80s and we make up a backstory. But this time, Soko over there, I'm pointing vaguely north, has a set that he might use rather than me, and so let's do it. Let's close on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry if there's a lot of extra noise. I'm surrounded now by children, of course, the one segment that features me. So I have in my hand a unopened pack of 1989 Topps baseball. This is the year that you could have gotten a Randy Johnson rookie card, which now goes for about 99 cents on eBay. So that's definitely a good investment.
It's really kind of it's kind of interesting to look at what baseball cards are worth now and to think back to our general youth when collecting baseball cards was a big thing.
Yeah,
there was a short time period, kind of like with comic books in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, where people really thought that they were going to be able to invest in this crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right? Collect it because you love it, mm-hmm. but. We could get, maybe that'll be a different podcast in the future. I could get into it more. But anyways, So 1989 baseball cards. I have no idea what's in this pack. This is the first time it's ever seen the light of day. So let's get into it.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's not drop all the almost disintegrating pieces of gum.
There's a section for fake food. Eat 25-year-old gum.
I think we specifically need to get it to Blake, so we can be like, here's gum that's
older than you are. Yeah.
All right. First up, this is a good one. Hopefully. First up, Randy Bacchus. He played for the Giants, and he was a pitcher.
Randy Bacchus was really unfortunately named due to his very conservative Christian straight edge policies in college.
Randy Bacchus is actually descended from the Roman god of wine Bacchus, spelled differently, but he changed his name because he didn't want to be thought as some sort of wino. But tragically, he ended up also being the god of live performance and theater, descended from, and we have him to blame for very bad community theater performances of Rent.
Ooh.
Up next, Mark Parent, catcher for the Padres.
Mark Parent actually just about 3 years ago completed his doctorate on linguistics with a detailed analysis of the language of Urdu.
Mark Parent is notable for being the first Major League Baseball player to headbutt a mascot after a game. Unfortunately, Dinger was not around yet, so it was not him. It was actually the San Diego Friar. And it was over a dispute over readings of actual biblical translations and such, so it was very in theme.
The funny thing is this is actually an interesting pack in terms of there's a ton of guys that are good, but it's not doing so great for random names that no one's ever heard of. Here we go.
Yeah.
Up next, Ron Hassey. He was a catcher and DH for the Athletics.
Ron Hassey is notable for swimming across the San Francisco Bay while covered in Vaseline and being chased by mechanical sharks.
Ron Hassey is also noted for his album of jazz duets performed with Charles Lloyd.
All right, Gary Pettis, outfielder for the Tigers. Pettis.
Gary Pettis was arrested in 1997 as part of a plot to smuggle a statue of Copernicus out of Poland.
He was once stranded on a most dangerous game type island, but was able to escape because it made for a good story. However, the crews of elderly pensioners did not survive.
He tried.
He tried.
That, unfortunately, is probably about it, because here's some of the rest of the cards in here.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Canseco.
Once accidentally shot off his finger.
Lost a finger in a poker game.
No.
Mookie Wilson. Willie Randolph. Bob Brenly.
Who's that?
No joke. Bob Brenly card in this pack.
Nice.
Wow.
So it was like, I'm flipping through and like, this is actually a really cool pack. Unfortunately, there's like no funny names. Who was it? There's a different one that I have. Oh, Mackie Sasser.
Mackie Sasser.
Mackie Sasser.
So if you guys want to do Mackie Sasser, then that's a pretty good one.
Mackie Sasser is a fictional, serialized James Patterson-esque detective's name.
But not like the main detective. I believe he would be like the cohort who gets shot partway through the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mackie Sasser, his baseball career was actually a secondary choice to his first love, which was table tennis.
Sometimes you ping, sometimes you pong. If you have questions for the Infield Chatter panel, send them to infieldchatterpodcast@gmail.com. I was delighted. I forgot who I was looking at because I have a Game Day Audio subscription this year.
Yeah.
I forgot. I think it's the Twins. No, the Twins of Minnesota would be a K station, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be K.
Yeah, I don't know who. It might have been. Might have been Detroit then, but it was WINZ. I'm like, wins. Sorry, that was.
No, that's Miami.
Oh, Miami. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
940 WINZ. Home of Miami Dolphins, Marlins, Gators, Defo and Goldie, and Dan Patrick.
It's okay, Charlie. I wouldn't want to admit to listening to a Marlins game either.
I think it was a game where like they blew a 7-run lead to the Rays, and I was like, I want to get in on that.